about a pastor that he just kind of falls in love with the congregation. It's inevitable. I believe if the Lord gives you a burden for a congregation, you fall in love with them. You have an appreciation for them. You have, oh, it's just something special. There's a special connection. Yes. I told my wife that it's a little different. I was, when I first moved to Dallas initially, I was, I did not go as the pastor. I went to be under another pastor. That pastor passed away a few months after I got there. And I was left with the responsibility there. And I was a young man at that particular time. And I just said, okay, I'm going to pray for the Lord to give us a pastor. And I was just going to preach. And so during the interim where I was preaching, it was quite different than when the Lord laid the burden on my heart to be the pastor. It becomes completely a different thing. So I thank the Lord for the opportunity that I have to be in Sacramento and the opportunity that I have to be to promote what God's desire is. And I've fallen in love with y'all a little bit more every day. I hope y'all feel the same way about me. So I appreciate you very much. We sang the song, and over the course of the last few weeks that I've been ministering, we've been talking about faith and a lot. We want to talk a little bit more about that today. Sometimes the Lord gives us a series because there's some things that the Lord wants to pull out in that. And so we want to be able to get everything that the Lord would have us to get in the process of what he would have us to do. So I'm going to write an ask on the board because that's what we're going to talk about. I want us to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, very familiar text of Scripture. Most of us could probably quote it by heart, but I want to read it. And I want to deal with a little bit in that particular passage of Scripture. If you have it, you can read it for us. Matthew 7, start at verse 7, please.
Matthew 7,
verse 7.
Verse 7, yes. Ask and it shall be given you.
Ask. So that's the first thing. It's got ask, and then there's a comma, and then it says, you ask, and it shall be given you. All right?
Seek, and ye shall find.
And ye shall find.
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Everyone that asketh, receiveth.
And he that seeketh, findeth.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So the first thing that he tells us to do, and this is a promise that we have to take into consideration. The Lord promises, he said very plainly here, this is the words that were written in red. So that means that they're the words of Christ, right? All right, we know that the whole Bible is the words of Christ in essence, but this is Christ in the flesh speaking these words. So he says, and he gives us a directive. He gives us a maybe just a hint of what we should be doing and gives us direction as to which way to point ourselves. Ask and it shall be given you. So he tells, if you ask, it will be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, one of the things that I will say, a lot of times we don't get what we want because we don't ask for it, right? And there's a lot of reasons that we don't ask for particular things because sometimes we feel like, you know what, if I ask that, it seems like it's so far-fetched that somebody's going to say no. So one of the reasons that we don't ask for things is because we are afraid. There is a fear that we have when we're just asking somebody, I'm going to ask this person if they'll help me in a particular way, and we're afraid of that. We're afraid of rejection. There is something about us as human beings that we don't want to be told no. It doesn't matter what it is. We don't want to be told no. We don't want to be rejected. We want everybody to like us. I don't know, matter who you are, and we can say, oh, I don't care if anybody likes me or not, but that's not really true, not down in the depths of our heart. And we've learned over a course of time, we've learned that it's not necessary for everybody to like us, and we've also learned that not everybody is going to like us. So we have kind of braced ourselves for that. So that's why we say, it doesn't matter what they say to me, but deep down in our heart, it really does matter what they say if they reject it. So a lot of times, we won't ask people particular things because we are afraid of that. Their rejection. All right? And so have we ever said, you know what? I've said this to myself sometimes when I have been afraid that somebody is going to say no to me. I say, what can they do? All they can say is no. So go ahead and ask them, right? They're not going to hit me. They're not going to do something horrible to me. All I have to do is ask. The Lord has given us an invitation to ask him, and he says, ask whatever it is that you want to ask for. He said, whatever it is, I'm going to give it to you. Now that's a promise.
All right?
Doesn't matter what it is. He didn't say, all right, if you ask in a certain category, then I'm going to give you this category, but I'm not going to give you this category. The Lord says, ask anything. Here he says, ask and ye shall receive. So that's a promise. Ask and ye shall receive. Now, what we'll know and what we'll understand is that there are some conditions to our asking, right? Now, one of the things out here, remember when we were children, I don't know why it's seared in my mind. I had a friend, his name was Junior. He lived right behind us, and he was the same age, and we were in the same grade. I was a little boy, and I said, Mama, if I clean up my room, can I go to play with Junior? Now, what do you think Mama said? She said, go clean up your room, and then come and ask me. Right? So we realize that Lord, Mama, I'll give you something if you'll give me something. Mama said, that's not the way it works. You understand that you were supposed to clean that room this morning, and you know that if I go and ask Mama, can I go and play, then Mama's going to say, did you clean your room? And I say, no, then she's going to say no, right? So we realize that there are some conditions. We're smart enough to know that there are some conditions that are required in order for us to get what we're asking for. So when he says, ask and ye shall receive, if I've met all those conditions, then I have what I'm asking for. The Lord will give me what I ask for, right? So one of the things that we have to understand is we've got to be willing to ask the Lord. He said, now I'm going to read some other scriptures because I want you to understand them. I want us to go to Romans, and we'll come back to this particular scripture. Romans, the 8th chapter, and I want to read starting at the 31st verse. Romans 8 and 31. If you have it, let's read that, please. Appreciate you helping me read. It kind of helps speed things along. Okay.
Romans 8 and 31.
Yes.
What shall we then say to these things?
Okay, what should we then say to these things?
If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son,
but delivered him up for us all,
how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
All right? So the Lord wants to freely give it. It's not something that he's stingy about it. He said, what shall we say then if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Yes.
So in other words, Christ said in the beginning in Matthew the 7th verse, Christ is the one that said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. All right, he said, everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, what he's laying out, and I want to lay out the foundation here, he says here that I'll give you all things. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not by him also freely give us all things? If God wants us to have it, there is no one in the world that can stop us from getting it but ourselves.
Yes.
All right? No one in the world. People can say they can be against us. They can be. They can do whatever they want to. They can put a herd of buffalo, so to speak, come in stampeding toward us, and they cannot stop what God wants to do for us if we believe.
Amen.
All right. So it's all based on our faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to have, Lord, I want you to help me to believe, because sometimes there are things in us that prevent us from getting what God wants us to have. Right. Now, why does it say it's the first thing he says, ask. So the first thing is a simple question. I'm gonna ask, Lord, here's something that I'm needing, whatever it is, whether it's temporal, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whether it's in whatever kind of capacity it is, there's something that I need and I'm gonna ask for it. And if I don't get it, what do I do then? So why did he put all of these? Why did he put here, ask and then seek and then knock? He put all of these there. There are a progression of things, right? So the first thing is a simple thing, and I can just ask for a particular thing. And then if I don't get that, why do I not get the thing that I'm asking for? Why am I not getting it? If I'm praying to the Lord, and listen, there are many things that only you and the Lord knows about in your life that you're asking the Lord for and you're not getting it. Why? Do you know one of the things is, it says here, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. What am I seeking for? I'm looking for it. I put a little bit more effort in my seeking than it is when I'm just asking, correct? All right, so I'm seeking a particular thing, and I'm seeking it. And when I'm seeking it, one of the things that I seek for is I'm asking myself, is there something in me I'm seeking in my own life, if I can say it like that? Yes. I'm seeking my own experience. Lord, is there something in me that's hindering me from getting what you're wanting, what I'm asking for? And what I believe, according to your word, is that you want to give me. According to the promises. Now, when I have searched my life and there is nothing there, and I'm open to the Lord, and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, is there something that you want me to do? Is there something, you know, Brother Hadley brought it out beautifully this morning, where his wife was sick when he was a young man, and his first wife was sick, and preacher comes to pray for her. And what's the problem? The problem isn't her. The problem is something that he didn't do, right? It's something that he was backing up. Now, he said, these are your own words, so I'm not putting words in his mouth. But he was backing up on the Lord. The Lord called him to preach. He didn't want to do it. He was submitted to the Lord in every other area in his life, but that one little area in his life, I'm not willing to give that to the Lord. So therefore, it's causing problems. And when we don't submit ourselves to the Lord, do you know it affects more than us? You remember Jonah? How Jonah was unwilling to do what the Lord had told him to do, to go and preach to Nineveh. And what happened? It affected everybody in that boat. Not only did it affect everybody in the boat, it affected people that weren't even in the boat. Because what did they do? It was a merchant ship, wasn't it? And what they do, they took the stuff and threw it overboard. Why? Because of Jonah's disobedience. So when we're seeking the Lord, one of the things that we ask for, well, Lord, look at me. Here am I. Search me, Lord. When we seek, we search, don't we? We're looking for something. So if there's something in me that prevents you from being able to do what I'm asking you to do, Lord, you put your finger on that and I'm willing to move it. You're the one that wants it. You're the one that wants something from the Lord. So why couldn't we? Why couldn't the Lord say to us, listen, I want you, there's a few things in your life. You're living a little sloppy. You know that it's not exactly the way that it should be, and the preacher don't even know it. I'm not going to tap you on the shoulder and say, brother, you know what, you're living a little sloppy. That ain't none of my job. I've never done it, and I don't believe I ever will. Why? But you know the man that I be tapping on the shoulder and saying, look at the way you live. It's the man that I see every morning when I look in that mirror. That's my job. And let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned that when you get him under control, you ain't got energy to control nobody else. He's a tough one. We learned about that in Sunday school this morning. He's a tough one. He's the worst person. He's your worst adversary, shall we say. Don't talk about your wife. Don't talk about your children. You talk about the man in the mirror. Lord, help us. Search him out. When you seek, then you're going to find. You're going to find. And you find something, you get that taken care of. The Lord's going to do it. And then you go, the next step is another progression. The next step is you're knocking. So what is that? That means there's some physical thing. That there is something on the other side of the door. It implies that there's a door, a gate, or something that you can gain entrance to, and then you don't have entrance to it. You're on the other side, and so you knock. And let me tell you something about knocking. You know, have you ever thought, looked out in a little peephole and saw there was somebody, and thought, we ain't gonna answer the door right there. Everybody be quiet. We ain't gonna let them know we at home right now, right? Because we don't want to be bothered. You know, some folks don't know when to go home. Have you ever been in situations like that? Where people don't know when to go home, they don't know what to do, or they're just a problem. So we're not gonna open the door. But let me tell you what happens. If that person sits there and they say, I know you in there. I saw your shadow as you moved across the window. I saw you. And if they just keep knocking, and they stand there for an hour and a half knocking, what you going to do? Either you're going to stick out the back and go around and do something, but you ain't going to stay in that house and not open that door for them, right? You're going to open the door. You're going to open it. There's an importunity that we have. This is what it's telling us about, that we can ask, Lord, please, if there is no reason, I've asked you for it, I've sought about it, I've searched my life, I've searched whether or not there is something that's hindering and I don't have it, and then, Lord, please, I need this. This is something that I need. And the only way for me to access it is that you open the door. I can't force it open. If you force the door open, you have no right to be in some place that you break into. You're a thief and you're a robber. But when you are knocking, you're asking for admittance. You are submitting yourself to the person that is over on the other side. And when they open the door, you can have whatever, you can go in and you can get whatever it is that you particularly want. There's a scripture in the Bible, a passage in the Bible that talks about it, where somebody comes in and he's the man, comes and knocks and he says, I'm in bed with my family. He said, I'm not able to give you any bread. I'm in bed with my family, and I'm not going to open the door and give you the bread. But you know, he said, because that person importunes, and you know, importunes, they just keep on knocking, I've got to have this. When we get desperate for the Lord, do you know the Lord hears and answers our prayer? And sometimes he stands back because it's not that he doesn't want to give it to us. He wants to know how bad we want it. All right? He wants to know if we're going to be persistent. He wants to know, listen, he's teaching us some things. There are some things, if we gave our children everything, when they wanted this, we bought it for them. When they wanted that, we bought it for them. When they wanted a car, we bought it for them. You know what kind of child that's going to be? What kind of adult that's going to be? A selfish adult that every time he asks for something, he's going to get everything he wants, when he wants it, and he doesn't care about anybody else. He just cares about himself. But let me tell you, when you say, okay, son, you want a car and you're 16, you want a car, I tell you what, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get one of them old cars. You're going to fix it up. You're going to buy half of it. You're going to pay me back, or you're going to buy it. That's something about that car that boy appreciates. Right? He appreciates it. Now, why? Because he put his money into it and he put his effort into it. And now it's not just that daddy gave it to him. It's that he put some effort into it. All right. Now, in the same way, there are going to be some times that we are going to have to. The Lord wants to teach us lessons in this walk of faith that we have. The Lord wants to teach us lessons in it. And some of the lessons he wants us to understand that in order to have faith, you have to have patience. There is no such thing as faith without patience. And so, first of all, if you ask and he doesn't initially give it to you, then you got patience. And unless the Lord tells you, no, I don't want you to have that thing, you have every right to stay there and keep asking until the Lord gives it to you or tells you no. You have a right to do that. Now, when the Lord tells you, no, that's not my will, that's not according to my will, then that's where your right stops. All right. If your mother, when we were children, when our mother said to us, no, you can't have that, then we stopped there. But sometimes we kept asking, didn't we? We kept asking and we got what it is that we wanted. But may the Lord help us. We can't bully the Lord. You know, you see a child at Walmart or somewhere in a toy aisle and they land down on the floor and having a temper tantrum because they can't have something. What are most of us going to do? I wish our children had done that. You know, we never had that problem, because all we got to do is pick that child up, take him out to the car, give him a good beating. Now, we ain't abusing them, but give him a good beating. They ain't going to do that again. Now, I don't understand why we just going to ignore. How are you ignoring that child? Lord, everybody else ain't ignoring, but you're the one that's pretending to ignore. No, we can't do that, right? All right, that's good enough. We'll go on to the next thing here. Let's go to James, the fourth chapter. I want to read starting at the second verse. Just a part of that scripture that I just want to pull out a little bit here. James 4, verse 2.
Ye lust and have not.
Ye lust and have not.
Ye kill and desire to have. And cannot obtain.
You can't obtain. You can't get it.
Ye fight in war.
You fight in war.
Yet ye have not.
Yet ye have not.
Because you ask not.
Now, the first thing that I want to say is a lot of the times that we don't get what we want is because we didn't ask for it. Simple as that. I didn't ask for it. I didn't think that I was going to get it, as we brought out at the beginning of this lesson. We talked about how we don't like rejection. We don't want to be rejected. And so this seems like it's a ridiculous thing for me to ask for. So therefore, I'm not going to ask it. So sometimes we transpose the way that we feel on the person that we're asking. So in other words, we may think it's something unreasonable, but they may not think it's quite as unreasonable. They have a different personality than what we do. And so what we have to understand is, particularly when we go to the Lord and we're talking to the Lord about a particular matter, we're asking the Lord, Lord, I want to know what your will and what your way is in this particular thing. And then we can ask the Lord whether or not the Lord wants to give. I'll share something that happened to me some time ago that really taught me. And as I believe the Lord allows experiences and lessons in life to happen so that it can teach us, and it teaches spiritual lessons as well as temporal lessons, right? And I believe that those things, if we listen to them and we heard them, really heard what God is trying to say in this particular experience, then I believe that we'd be farther along spiritually in some ways. And it was a real estate transaction that I was wondering if we could do. And I said, I wonder if that person, we were needing it to be where the owner financed it as opposed to the bank, all right? Because of the price of it. And it was not advertised in that kind of a way. And we felt very connected to it. It was a house that my wife and I wanted to buy years ago. And I said, I wonder if they would owner carry that. I was just thinking in my own mind. And you know what the Lord spoke to me and said? Just ask. I said, well, it's not advertised there. There's no chances. Most of the time they say no. Most of the time, you know, I've been in the business for a long time. Most of the time they say no. But you know what? The Lord spoke to me and said, just ask. And it kind of startled me because I hadn't thought about asking. I hadn't thought about maybe you just ask and maybe it is. So I picked up the phone. I called the other agent. Of course, me myself being an agent, I called the other agent and I said, I'm just curious, would they be interested in entertaining an offer that would be owner finance? You know what she said? She said, you know, I think they might. Let me call them and I'll call you back. And do you know what? They did. Mm-hmm. It was the only way that we could have gotten that property. And they did. And you know what? So that taught me something. That taught me never have a preconceived notion about anything. And now, and in one sense, that those kinds of experiences have been the foundation of the faith that I have to go forward in various things. Because if the Lord said, Lord give you, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, who? It doesn't matter how many people come against us. It doesn't matter if there is a multitude of, we say we're on the winning side, right? We don't have to have a whole lot of folks. We're just a small group of people right here in Sacramento. But you know what? We're big enough to do the damage that God wants us to do. We don't have to be great and grand, but we can do exactly what God has placed us here, this little congregation. We can do exactly what God has placed us here to do. And no one else can do it. That's the wonderful thing. You can go to those mega churches, all those big, wonderful, big edifices and whatnot. And there are all these big choirs and their Sunday school class is bigger than our whole congregation. All of those kinds of things. It doesn't matter to me. You know what matters? We're in the center of God's will doing what God wants us to do right here. They can't do my job. They can't do your job. Doesn't matter how many people it is, how many thousands of people it is, they cannot touch the lives of the people that God wants us to touch. That's our job. That's our responsibility. They can't take away from us what God has rightfully given us. They can't take it away. No one can. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of it. So that we can ask the Lord. I can ask him whatever it is that I want. There's one place that says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There are some times that I don't know what to do. I don't know. I've done a particular thing. I thought, oh yeah, this is the best thing. I've projected it out into the future. Well, this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And then that's going to happen. And then when we get to it, we thought, well, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. You been in those kinds of places? Yes, all of us have. All of us have thought, I got it all together. I know exactly what to do. I know exactly how it's going to turn out. You ask God first. Amen. You ask him, Lord, give me direction in my life. Show me what you want me to do. Show me how you want me to do it. The Lord will do that. And let me tell you what it is. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and what happens? It shall be given him. It shall be given him. So there are some times in whether or not to take a job, whether or not to move to California, whether or not to move, if we move to California, should we move to Sacramento? I have no idea. I'm in Texas. I'm asking God, Lord, show it. Open the way. Make it plain as to what you want to do. And the Lord does that. Why? Because we ask him. Yes. Lord, give us wisdom. I don't know what's best, but the Lord knows what's best. Why? Because he knows everything. He's omniscient. Yes, thank you. He's everything. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. That's why he never makes a mistake. And when we ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom, give me understanding, give me direction. And whatever it is in your life that you need direction for, you pray about it. You ask the Lord to give you what you need. You seek it and you knock on the door. You do what you need to do to knock, and the Lord will give that to you. It's not somebody else. What do we say? Have faith in God, not have faith in man. Not have faith in your ability. Oh, you're a pretty smart fellow. Oh, you're a pretty smart woman. You're pretty smart this or that. It doesn't matter. You've got ran a good business or whatever it is that you want. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we're going to trust God. We're going to ask God. We're going to get wisdom from God. Let me tell you something else. He said, ask of me. In Psalms 2 and 8, we won't go to it. It says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. So what do we do? We can ask for souls, saints. Yeah, it's just a few of us here, but it doesn't matter. But you know what? You know what I like about us being here? We're on fire for the Lord. That's what matters, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Have I preached to a lot more people in when we were other in Dallas? Absolutely. But you know what? Doesn't matter. I didn't preach with any more fervor for how many ever people that I'm preaching here, for the few that's here. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. We're preaching as unto the Lord. Oh, you know, if you got to have a big crowd in order to preach, there's something wrong with you. I don't know that I want to hear you. Lord, help us. You're just getting it from the Lord. Every soul, and here's the thing that I understand too. Every soul needs the Lord. Every soul. And when the Lord speaks to it, I'm not speaking to a crowd. I'm speaking to Brother Ike. I'm speaking to one man. I'm speaking to every person individually, even though we're speaking collectively. And that person needs to, you know what? When I preach, I'm preaching to me too. Yes. I'm getting it for me. And sometimes the Lord opens up my understanding while I'm up here preaching and say, brother, that's what you need right there. And it's for me as well, right? Yes. Lord, help us. Yes. Lord, help us. All right? All right, so we can ask for souls, saints. Let's ask for them. Let's ask the Lord to. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just, well, we can't stay in this little church anymore because it just ain't enough room. Isn't that wonderful? Do you see it? Can you see it in your mind's eye? Can you see it through the eye of faith that, oh, this isn't big enough anymore? God wants to give us something greater, grander, and we can ask for it. We can ask him for it. We can say, well, Lord, you know what, Lord, we've been like this for how many years? It don't matter how many years you've been like this. What the Lord wants to do is something great, something grand in our lives, individually and collectively. And our job is to do our part. Alright? Alright, let's go a little farther here. I want to say John 14, verse 12. Let's start at verse 12. John 14, verse 12.
St. John 14.
Yes.
And verse 12.
John 14 and 12, yes.
If ye shall ask anything in my name.
If ye shall ask anything in my name.
I will do it.
I will do it. Alright, read.
If you love me.
If you love me.
Keep my commandments.
See. If you love me, keep my commandments. But first of all, he says, if you ask anything in my name, well, you just can't live any old kind of way and ask the Lord for whatever it is that you want. Yeah. You can't live any old kind of way. And the preacher is not going to, it's not our job to monitor how you live your life. That's your business. That's between you and the Lord. Right? But if you love me, you're going to keep my commandment. You're going to do what I say. And what this read, please.
And I will pray the Father.
And you know what the scripture says in one place? It says, my commandments are not grievous. Let me tell you, when we look and we do what the Lord tells us to do, look at your life. Look at a person's life that has lived for the Lord from the time that they were a child to however old they are. And then look at people's lives that didn't. You can put them side by side. And right now, it doesn't matter because some of us didn't start out young. Well, I mean, we did our little dirt and we got older, and then we got saved. Nothing wrong with that. I don't know how to say that, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, that's okay. It's your life. There's nothing you can do about it right now. You probably, if you can go back and change it, you would. But look at your life. Look at a person's life once they give their heart to the Lord. Compared to when a person wasn't living for the Lord, it's always better living for the Lord. Amen. This has been my experience. It's been your experience. All right. Continue to read, please.
16.
Yes.
And I will pray the Father.
I will pray the Father.
And he shall give you another comforter.
He shall give you another comforter.
That he may abide with you forever.
That he may abide with you forever.
Even the Spirit of Truth.
Even the Spirit of Truth. And that's down through the 13th to 14th verse.
17th verse.
Huh?
I started at the 14th.
I'm sorry. I meant for you to start at the 12th verse. I'm sorry.
Reading St. John 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Yes.
He that believeth on me.
He that believeth on me. The works that I do.
Shall he do also.
And greater works than these shall he do.
Because I go to the Father.
So you know what? That's a possibility that verily, verily, I say unto you. Can you imagine that you could do greater works than Christ? This is Christ speaking. None of us can. I can't take it in. I can't take it in. But you know what? But should we be going toward it? Should we be trying? Should we be living our lives in a way that we're going to get as close to it as I possibly can? That I want to know how close I can get to it. You know, Peter walked by and Peter did some things that no one else did. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. Walked on water. Nobody else has. In the history of mankind that we are aware of, no one else has done that, right? Peter shadowed, healed people. Jesus didn't even do that, from my understanding in the scripture. So it is greater things that we'd be able to do because he goes to the Father. And he said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now these are promises that I want you to get a hold of. Write them down. Read them. When you go, when you praying about a particular thing, ask the Lord, Lord, you said you would do this.
Yes.
You said that, Lord, that these are promises. These are not things that I said. It's not things that the preacher said. It's not things that you just made up. It's things that the Lord said. And if the Lord said it, he's going to stand by his word. He's going to stand by his word. All right. Let's go to another in Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. Have it. We can read it, please.
Matthew 21 and verse 22.
Yes.
And all things. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer.
Let's go back. I'm sorry. This is talking about the fig tree that the Lord cursed. He says, henceforth no fruit. In the 19th verse, no fruit grow on thee for henceforth and forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said, read, please.
Jesus answered and said unto them,
yes,
Verily I say unto you,
if you have faith
and you doubt not, ye shall not only do
to this which is done to the fig tree,
but also if ye shall say unto this mountain,
Be thou removed,
and be cast into the sea,
it shall be done,
and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer,
believing ye shall receive. So it's got to be accompanied with prayer, with faith. So I've got to believe. I've got to believe that whatever it is that I'm praying for, that the Lord's going to give it to me. If I can't believe that, then I'm not going to be able to get it. It doesn't matter what it is that I'm asking for. And the Lord said, this mountain. Now, do you think that literally, I believe if we literally needed a mountain to be removed, the Lord would literally remove a mountain. But I don't believe that that's necessarily what he's talking about here in this particular scripture. But we do have mountains in our lives. We have issues and problems that seem insurmountable. I don't know how we're going to get this. We can't go around it. We can't go up over it.
Yes.
All we've got to do, we're facing this insurmountable thing in front of us, this situation in our lives, in our family, on our work, whatever it is, spiritually, I'm facing this insurmountable thing. If I have faith and I simply ask and I say, Lord, look at my life. I seek the Lord about this thing. I knock on and I say, Lord, I need this mountain removed. Do you suppose the Lord's going to do something about it? You suppose he's that concerned about you? He would have put these things in the scripture if he wasn't going to stand by it. He wouldn't have done it, would he?
Amen.
We can trust the Lord. We can depend upon him. We can look to him. We can believe that he's able to do exceeding us abundantly above all that we ask or think. Saints, I want us to get a hold of something.
Yes.
I want us to get a hold of God is able to do anything. Stretch your mind.
Amen.
Stretch it further than what you ever stretched it before. Here's the thing. I am a witness of what you prayed for and God answered. You never would have thought that God would have. This is your testimony. This is not me. This is not me. This is what you have told me. You never would have thought that God, and I never would have thought God would have moved me from Texas to California either. Didn't want to come.
And the Sacramento
of all places. But the Lord put us here. Why? Because little saints over here, nobody knows you're here. Nobody knows very much about us, but you were praying. You were asking. You were seeking. You were knocking. You were going to other people and saying, Lord, we need a pastor. We need somebody that will come and help us. And the Lord was talking to somebody that you never even thought of. This is why you cannot have preconceived notions about what God is able to do. Because you don't know what God, his ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. We need to get a hold of that. Lord, stretch my mind a little bit more. Amen. Help me to believe what I can't believe right now. Help me to understand that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can even fathom.
Amen, Lord.
I couldn't do it without, we couldn't do it without the Lord. But we ask, we just ask. And when I don't get it the first time, I'm starting to search my life. Lord, is there something wrong with me? It's not anything wrong with the Lord. Am I misunderstanding you? Am I misunderstanding what you want to do? What you want to do? And when I seek that and I'm searching, and then I say, Lord, I see that this is the direction you want me to go, and I'm going to... Is anybody home? Lord, are you there? You're on the other side. The only way that I can get this is that you're the one that's going to give it to me. Would you give it to me? And do you know what? Oh, look, I'm through. I've been up here for 15 minutes, they say. I done knocked for 15 minutes. They ain't coming to the door. They ain't going to come to the door. No, you keep knocking for another 15 minutes. They're going to come to the door because they're going to get tired of you knocking on the door. What does the scripture say? I believe in the 18th chapter of Luke. It's talking about the unjust judge and the woman. She came to him. And the judge said, you know what, I'm not concerned about man, I'm not concerned about God, but this woman's getting on my nerves. And so I'm going to give her what she wants. I'm going to avenge her adversary because she wearies me coming day and night. And what did the Lord say? Lord, will I find faith on the earth when I come? Will I find somebody that'll just keep knocking, keep importuning, keep asking, keep seeking until they get it? Will I find that? But you know what? We get a little attitude, and we say, "I'm not going. I ain't asking him again." Now, there's a lot more to this, but time is up. I'm going to read a couple other scriptures. John 15 verse 7 says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done." So what it is? There are conditions that have to be met. I've got to believe. His word has to abide in me. I've got to abide in his word. You know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know what the Lord wants this congregation to do? The Lord wants this congregation to start believing more.
Amen.
This is not just not some motivational speech. This is something that the word of God tells us you need to believe some more. I do too. You need to expand your mind some more. You need to expand your heart some more. You need to get into the word and understand that the word gives promises to you that you can stand on. Do you realize that we're literally standing on the word of God? He spoke this world into existence. He said, let there be light. That's the word of God. And so now, what do we stand on? When we go out there in that dirt, God spoke that. That's the word of God that we stand on. It's the most solid thing in the world.
Amen.
It's what everything is based on. What everything is founded on. All right? All right. Now, one other scripture. 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14, there's another condition that I want to make. So it says here, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. So it didn't just say that, oh, anybody can just pick up this Bible and oh, that's in red. The Lord said he'd give it to me, and you're a rank sinner, that ain't going to happen, right? No, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. All right, one other scripture, and we'll appreciate
First
your patience.
John 5:15.
Yes.
And
if we know
that he hear us,
whatsoever we ask,
we know
we have the petition
that we desire
them. And this is the confidence. Does that say that? And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will,
he hears us.
It doesn't matter what it is. Now, what another one of those things is his word abiding in me. Now, the Lord wants to add, we want to say, Lord, not my will, just like Jesus did, not my will, but thy will be done. So that if we ask anything and it's according to the will of God, if it's according to the will of God, he hears us every time we pray. And if we know that he hears us, we can be confident. He knows that we hear and we ask in everything according to the will of God. He said, if we ask anything according to the will of God, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I've asked according to his will. Lord, this is your will. This is what you've shown, proven to me to be your will. And I appreciate that so very much. And Lord, I'm asking for it. And you know what? God has the ability to bring forth his will in our lives. All right. And if I can just make my will his will, then I can get everything I want. If I can submit myself to the point that, Lord, not what I want, but what you want, the Lord will give me everything that I ask for. Isn't that wonderful? Like a child in a candy store, just go around. I want one of these, and I want one of these, and I want five of these, and I want whatever it is. The Lord will give it to us. Saints, well, we've got to meet some conditions, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? This is the kind of God that we serve. Don't you want to serve any wonderful God? Isn't this something? We can see evidences right now. We can see evidences of things that we've asked the Lord for. And the Lord is blessed. You know, let me tell you something else. When we first started renovating this building, oh, a few of y'all were a little concerned. And I know it. You didn't tell me. But y'all told each other. I could see it in your eyes. I could see that there was some concern about it. But you know what? I felt inspired that this is what the Lord wanted. That I believe in having something nice. As nice as we can have it. As nice as we can afford it. I believe you do too. But you know, we had to step out on faith. It wasn't easy, was it? We stepped out on faith. Some folks didn't want to ask people for money.
Yes.
You know, I'm saying because y'all told me that.
That's right.
But when I'm asking for the Lord, I don't care. I ask you for anything. You got $1 million, the Lord needs it. I'll be accountable for it, but the Lord needs it. I'll ask you for that. If it's for the Lord, there's a different story if it's for me. All right? I'm going to be more reluctant to ask you. Sometime I have to humble my heart and ask folks for stuff I don't want to ask them for. But when it's for the Lord, it's just that you just ask him because the Lord gave it to you in the first place. Everything that you got, God gave it to you. How dare you not give it back to him? How dare you be selfish and not give what God has given you back to God? Let me tell you what I've learned over the years, and I know I'm really done. I'm trying to stop here. What I've learned over the years, you can't be God-given. You can't do it. When you give to the Lord what is due him, the Lord just multiplies. I've seen it so many times. You give God $20, he gives you $60.
Yes.
Don't be stingy with the things of God.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Yes.
Ask.
Amen.
You shall receive.
Amen.
Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I believe that with all of my heart. Pray for me. Thank you for your time and attention. I appreciate it very much.
318.
Let us stand as we sing number 318. If there's someone that has a desire.